What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to The Good, The Bad and The Stupid. It's Wednesday, July the 1st, or Wednesday the 1st of July, or 3 days before the pubs open. That's more like it. 3, 2, 1. That's what we're going to do, a bit of a countdown over the next few days before we all get excited because the pubs are going to be open. It's Saturday, isn't it? So they couldn't even do it on a fucking Friday, so you've still got to suffer Friday, Saturday, the pubs are open, you can get all your gear on, get down the pub, drink more than you normally would, get in a fight, get nicked, day to remember. Put that one in your diary, you remember the day when the pubs reopened. There's going to be a lot of that going on, there's going to be a lot of parties, a lot of singing, I imagine, a lot of COVID-19 being passed around, probably. A lot of pharmaceuticals being passed around as well, more likely. Because I guess the drug dealers are going to be back in business as well. So, yeah, everything's almost back to normal. I don't know how the deal is. You're allowed to sit in the pubs. I know we're already serving outside the pubs, isn't they? So, yeah, you must be able to go inside the pub. So it's whether you decide to wear a face mask or not, isn't it? Even if you wore a face mask and you got pissed, do you really think your face mask is going to stay over your face? No. It's going to be, you're going to be doing all sorts with it, making it into an eye patch, pulling it on your head like a little hanky nurse's hat. You're going to be dropping it on the floor. You're going to be wiping your hands with it in the bathroom after having a piss. All that sort of stuff. The mask is not going to be of any use to anybody. Anyway, yeah, so that's something to look forward to. Something else to look forward to is Britain is going to be suffering 40-degree heat by the end of the century if we fail to tackle climate change. So, I mean, that's us in England, in shitty weather England, 40-degree heat we're going to have. You know, some would say that, fucking bring it on. I mean, as soon as the sun comes out in England, people are putting butter on themselves. They do on my council estate anyway. Lying out on the roof, covered in fucking, I can't believe it's not butter. It should be, I can't believe it's not sun cream, because they're using butter instead. But trying to cook themselves. But when we get 40 degree, people will say, bring it on, man. We're fucking desperate for a suntan. But then you'll have the other half who are like, oh, it's too hot. The moaners will be out in force. It's only like a degree tipping point from people being, oh, this is fucking beautiful, to, oh, fucking hell, it's too hot. I can't stand this. The moan, us Brits know how to moan, put it that way. We know how to drink and have a good time, but we also know, and smash things up, and we also know how to moan. We're good whingers. That's why the Australians call us whinging poms. But yeah, so it's going to be 40 degrees. What's it going to be like in other countries if we're 40 degrees? What about countries that are already hot? By the time that comes to us, all the other countries that are already hot where we go on holiday, they must be up to about 70. So we're not going to just have mad sunshine. We're going to have a fucking invasion of people who are just beyond fucking able to cope with the heat in their country. They're going to be swimming over here, aren't they? We're going to be inundated. It's going to be like Waterworld, rafts like the Spanish Armada all heading to England. Fucking, it's going to be, everybody's going to be piling on because 40 degrees is going to be considered to be cool. If you take Italy and fucking and Morocco and fuck knows, Spain, Africa, everywhere, they're going to be like double or triple that. Anyway, so something to look forward to. We'll have to fucking do one to Antarctica and let them have it, I think, because Antarctica must have heated up by then. The place will be on its fucking last legs, won't it? If that's the way it's going. Well, in fact, we'll have to leave the planet. I'm going to have to fucking start befriending Elon Musk now, because when he starts taking people up to colonise another planet, I want to be on there. Although, we are just going to be breeding inbred, because there's not going to be that many people up there. So I'll have to be one of the forefathers of the inbred community on Mars. At least I started off, at least my first offspring would be relatively normal. It's just a few chains down the line when they're all like hick and they're all a bit fucking, you know, like Jeff Goldblum when he comes out of that pod in The Fly, when he's all a bit fucking mashed up and everything. And when they look back to the family tree, there's going to be me stood at the top of it, Mr. Normal looking, not normal in any other way. I'll be the fucking the grandfather of the inbred society. No thanks. I think I'm going to take my chances back down here on Earth. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, but then that's the way it goes, because I just say as it comes into my brain, you get to hear firsthand what how I think, which is very unusual, I think, by the sounds of what I've just said. An essay by Star Trek actor William Shatner on screen fighting. What? On screen fighting is set to fetch up to $3,000. The 80-year-old who played Captain Kirk in the original sci-fi tells of how he made his character look good in battle. On-screen fighting. I've no idea what the fuck that is. And I'm just going to say an essay by William Shatner is about to fetch $3,000 by auction. So anybody that's paid £200 or £300 for his signature somewhere along the lines, down at one of these Star Trek conventions, because he charges a fucking fortune for it, I think. So keep hold of it, because when he pops his clogs, it might be fucking worth up to $3,000. You might as well make turn it into, try and get your money back somehow. I really can't see the draw of having a signature by somebody, paying a fortune for a signature by somebody. But people do. I know, because I've sold a Dustin Hoffman one the other week. It took me fucking ages to sell it. He ain't the most popular guy. I bought it at a market and I tried to resell it. I must have had it about 8 months. I didn't sell it till I reduced the price. So Dustin Hoffman's not a great draw. Obviously not as big a draw as William Shatner by the looks of it. So you've got to get your stars right. I mean, Marilyn Monroe all day long is going to be fucking thousands and thousands. Whereas, I don't know, Hilda Ogden out of Coronation Street is probably not going to be worth fucking enough to buy a portion of chips from the chip shop. Anyway, Ghostbusters have been called into a woods because it's been haunted by a potty-mouthed ghoul that's swearing at the tourists who visit the beauty spot. You'd have to go up and have a look for that. That's my kind of ghost, a ghost that swears at you. That's my kind of lady. She's been telling people to fuck off in Somerset's Quantock Hills for quite a while. Telling them to fuck off out of my woods, will ya? That's like, how old is she? She can't be that old. The area's scheduled ancient monument known as Dead Woman's Ditch is linked to two murders after the body of Shirley Banks was there in 1988. And the voice of the site started shouting, fuck off, there is definitely something there. My wife has experienced it a long time. But maybe that's some doggers in the bush that fucking getting at it, and then you're like, you know, coming up there, rambling away up the woods. Don't you realise that area's for dogging, not for fucking walking? And you come up there with your little picnic and pat lunch, being all twee. Then they're going, fuck off out of here. We're fucking trying to fucking have sex here. But you can't hear the rest of it. You've already ran off at the first fuck off because you're a twee little picnic carrier. Could be. It reminds me of a story because it's a ghost that is saying that he appears to be wearing old-fashioned, dressed in white with old-fashioned clothing. That's just fucking the standard, fable, or what's the word? Oh, fucking hell. Urban myth, should I say. We've got some woods near us, and we, as kids, we always used to go up there looking for the white lady. The white lady. And we used to go up there with torches and everything, and I used to shit myself. I used to really shit myself. Not literally, but I was very, very scared. But there was the white lady there, and we always used to go up on a ghost hunt, like on Goonies, loads of kids, and we'd go through there when it's really dark and everything, and, you know, we never saw nothing, but we thought we did loads of times, and we all fucking ran off screaming our heads off, and then we go back and try and set traps and everything. But she never told us to fuck off. She had a bit more decorum than that. I tell you that. It's when I got home that I got told to fuck off. When I asked for some money through the letterbox, fuck off, you're not getting any. I come from a classy family. Anyway, Here's a pub landlord who's of the same style. He's put out a job offer, and he said any applicants who take up the job offer, you'll be working for an asshole. So if you take fancy a job there, he's already telling you straight what you're going to be dealing with. So he said, but I'm a fair one. I'm a fair asshole. Well, you've got to take your chances there. And I think he's literally, I don't want to work for any assholes. You've got to spend all day with them. So basically he's going to be bullying you about, telling you, bossing you about. He's the boss, but it's when they get too bossy, isn't it? When a boss gets too bossy, when you just have to just go, you know what? Fuck your job. And fuck your fucking fish and chips you're asking me to take over to the customers. You take it over to them or I'll chuck it in your fucking face. That's a bit harsh, Wayne. Well, I've met those kind of people and they're jobs worth. They really are. I mean, he's a manager of a pub, for God's sake. He's not like, you know, running a fucking... running like a CEO of a top financial company or something like a little bit... with a bit of... you know, Gordon Gekko about it. He's like working for what's it called? Like a Weatherspoons or a Harvester. That's what it is. So anyway, take him up on it if you fancy it. He warned wannabes not to come in with chipped... he's already started off. Don't come in with chipped fingernails, scraggly hair, or if they look like they had just been on a session. Come looking to impress me. If your clothes are creased to bits, then I won't be having your lazy ass anywhere near my bar. Look good, feel good. I'll tell you what, you've just got to fucking your CV in with a big fuck off fingers on it, or a big one big fuck off finger drawn on the front of your CV. Here you go. This is my attitude. Take it or leave it. If you haven't got any other people apply for the job because you're a fucking asshole and this is the only application, see this big fuck off finger? You're going to be getting that a lot if you start bossing me around when I come and do the job, because you're going to have to ask me because nobody else has applied. So go fuck yourself. Anyway, I don't know where it is. If you're looking for a job, where is it? The George Pub and Grill in Stockton, County Durham. There you go. Avoid it. Or go in there and cause him a load of trouble. If you're a local or live local, go and give him, cause him hassle. Let's get it obviously easily wound up. Let's wind him up. Order some food, and when he comes, go, no, I didn't order that. I ordered something completely different to that. And do that a few times, and that'll get on his fucking nerves. Because the customer's always right in his eyes. So you can play it against him. Jammy Dodgers will go back to being plant-based biscuits after a switch to dairy was panned. Dairy? Why the fuck? Why is dairy being in biscuits anyway? It doesn't need to be there, does it? That's the mad thing about at the dairy industry and the fucking animal industry. It's in loads of foods that you wouldn't... If you try not to eat meat, which I do, and then you're trying to... You have to check the packaging and stuff and that, because you find meat, it's in fucking everything. Milk is in everything. I mean, you run out of, like... Especially on the biscuit aisles and stuff like that, and... loads of other stuff, like certain breads and everything. You find it, eggs and breads and whatever else. It's in fucking everything. It's like, you know, and it doesn't need to be there because everybody's got like now they're all making an alternative. Like Galaxy, they've just done a Galaxy vegan chocolate bar. Tastes just the fucking same. I've tasted it. It's just twice the price. That's the only problem. Anyway. Jammy Dodgers going back to being plant-based. Good. You should never have gone anything other. You should have fucking just been plant-based anyway. Otherwise, so that's good, because Jammy Dodgers, I didn't know they weren't. So now Jammy Dodgers is back on my shopping list. Thank you. I used to call myself a Jammy Dodger, but I'm a fucking... I'm the opposite of that now. I'm like an unlucky Dodger of the last few years. And my luck's going to turn. This is my year. And it's all because of you listeners, listening to me. You're going to tell your friends. The podcast is going to grow. I'm going to become all famous. And then I'm going to make lots of money off this podcast. And then I'm going to retire on my little Caribbean island. on a Caribbean island, not mine. I don't think I'll be enough to afford to buy the whole island, but no. With my Jammy Dodgers suitcase full of Jammy Dodgers, or I'll just have somebody on call over here posting me some Jammy Dodgers every time I need some. I'm going to be an idiot and just take a suitcase full. They'll think it's full of cocaine. They'll smell a fucking something wrong with that. They'll end up going, why are you taking a suitcase full of Jammy Dodgers to the Caribbean? I don't understand what's in there. Let's break all the biscuits open. Take all the jam out. Eat all the jam out for you. Make sure you're not smuggling drugs back to where drugs are smuggled from in the first place. What are we going to say? Nearly there. We're nearly finished. A hotel beach bar on the Turkish... I'm not going to go and retire to this place. A hotel beach bar in Turkey have hiked their prices for tourists because the fucking holidays are back on the menu. And they're hiking their prices to tourists. How much do you think kebab is? A kebab that would normally be about a fiver. Probably cheaper because it's in Turkey. £43. That's 10 times the price. You got to fucking piss off. You got to tell him to do one. Again, you can go up and order. Go, no, mate, I didn't order the £43 one. I ordered the £5 one. You know, the one that you were selling me this time last year. That's the one I've ordered because it's exactly the same. If it's anything different, then I don't want it. You have to take it back and let him have a load of waste in the bin. Fuck that. I don't pay £45 for a kebab to anybody. Not even to Gordon Ramsay. I'm not even going to let Gordon Ramsay scream in my face or scream in your face. Like, imagine if Gordon Ramsay did one of those things I was talking about yesterday where you could pay people to give a speech to one of your family members. And like, he'd be like that, you fucking idiot. I've seen that cooking, your cooking is shit. It's about time you fucking bugged your ideas up. Or fucking, what's it called? Get your head out of your arse and in the fridge and clean it. Shit like that, they could do that, couldn't they? That would be a really good one, actually. So my idea again, I think I want a royalties out of that, Gordon, if you're listening. Intellectual property rights, it's my idea, and he's going to do that for sure, because that is money, that's money in the bank. Right, last one, we'll find the last one to do. What was I going to do? Die Hard is one of Britain's favourite most watched film classics. Die Hard 1, that is. I've got to admit, actually, I always think, fucking, every time I see it go on the TV, oh, for fuck's sake, Die Hard's on again. It's kind of think of anything fucking better to put on. And then I watch it and watch it all the way through because it is a great film. You can never get enough of Alan Rickman in that film. And it's just good. It's just one of them films you can watch over and over again. But lots of other films they put on the TV that over and over and over again are fucking shit. And I just have to turn over. But the Die Hard, I can suffer. The Die Hard and Rocky all day long. And First Blood 1, I can watch them on repeat. They're like, they're a lot of my go-to. If you're feeling a bit down, get one of those films on. They perk you up. But yeah, it's like, what's it called? What's it, Alan Rickman. I don't think he was even... what was the fucking story about that? Oh, there was something about the Alan Rickman thing. Anyway, I don't know what it is, so I'm not going to try and remember because it will take me forever and I won't come up with the answer. But he's the best villain for a while, isn't he? Because he was charming. And I bet there were some women who were thinking, he's a nasty bastard. I would love to jump into bed with him. He's such a nasty bastard, but he's got me feeling a little bit, you know, like I want him to point his gun at me, if you know what I mean. Right, I think I'm going to leave it there before I... turn a few ladies off my podcast. Right, hopefully you've enjoyed it, and I'll see you again tomorrow. See you later for now. Bye.